therapist say everything's gonna be alright.
The following is paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. This is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo. We are live on The Biz at 8:80 a.m. That's 8:80 The Biz. You can listen online or download the app at 880thebiz.com. Again, that's 880thebiz.com. And you can listen on iHeartRadio through Alexa by saying, Alexa, play 880 The Biz. Later on in the show, these radio shows will be converted into podcasts also. If you search Amy Cabo on the podcast The Cure will show up and you can listen to any previous show. Make sure to stay tuned in because we will open up the lines if you want to call in with any questions or personal stories that you might want to share with us. Our show covers topics like how to deal with trauma, after abuse, mental illness, or anything that you suffer that could cause PTSD. We also speak about common misconceptions, treatments, and healing options. And today I'm joined by Boris Nikolov. Thank you,
Hi.
Boris.
Thank you.
And, you know, Boris, I have to tell you that I was really moved by a post that I read. And that's what gave me the idea about how to go, what to speak about today. This person writes, my therapist is telling me so many things that give me hope, but my heart is struggling to believe them. You fought and protected yourself the best you could. You are not to blame for not telling. You are not weak. I'm an educated professional. While I know in my head these things are true, my heart is fighting me on this. Why are we so hard on ourselves? And how do we finally convince yourself and find peace? Well, I don't have a lot of knowledge, but I can tell you my experiences. And that's where what you get from me, my experiences and how I did it. I realized that I wanted to emphasize on overcoming shame and guilt by focusing on forgiveness and God's unconditional love. Because although we all could go through, have different symptoms and the severity and characteristics vary among people, we all, a lot of us that have suffered long-term abuse and have complex PTSD are, a lot of us survivors deal with a feeling of shame and guilt. I know that it took me a long time. And from my own experience, I learned that bad actions, you end up having negative coping mechanisms that lead to feelings of inadequacy and low self-esteem or the willingness to tolerate abuse, sometimes subconsciously self-sabotage, and definitely self-hatred. But these feelings are among the most problematic because when you do hate yourself and when you do feel hopeless, that's when it can lead to suicide. So, but here's the thing. God loves us no matter what. God forgives us no matter what. God is always with us. I know this for a fact. And I ran across a testimonial that will show you just how loving our God is. Because let me tell you something, when we're feeling low, when we're miserable, and we don't find a way to get ourselves out of it, I think to myself, I'm sure the devil wants me to listen to these negative thoughts. I'm sure he wants me to be miserable and depressed. I'd rather think that than something's wrong with me. But here's a testimonial called Praise God from Delivering This Man from Demons.
Are visitations by demons just the fanciful imaginings of fiction writers and Hollywood movie producers? Or do they really occur? Joe Heintzelman says they do.
There are demons that are set to keep us from God. There are demons that are set to do nothing but to frustrate the maturing process. There's no other grand scheme that they have but to do those two things.
Joe grew up in Missouri. He attended church as a boy, but never had a relationship with Christ. Even when he was young, Joe could sense a spiritual battle brewing around him.
I used to love riding my bike, and there was a bike path that ran along the ditch. And I remember riding it from my friend's house, and I just really felt this presence of light on one side of me and a presence of darkness on the other side. And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and was like, well, whichever one of you gets me first can have me.
Joe had few friends. He also never knew his birth father. The loneliness and fear he felt as a child would lead him down a dark path.
The biggest thing I was looking for back then would be relationships. It was the piece of my life I felt was missing.
When his mother and stepfather separated, Joe began to fill the void in his life with alcohol, and eventually the occult. He started experimenting with a Ouija board, which opened doors that would not be easily closed.
We had some very powerful experiences then, and I just felt this something extra in me, and I knew that something was different. And I remember walking down the street that night, and the cats were in the yard, and they would just start hissing. And
later, as an adult, Joe met three demons.
The demons had really started making themselves very known to me at that time. There was three of them. One was a manipulator, and it took on the female persona. The other was a tormentor, and he took on the male persona, and then the other one was the mastermind. Every night I would meet with them, and they would just fill me with this knowledge of the kingdom of darkness and how they operate. It was one of those moments that, look, if you'll just let us teach you, then we'll give you everything you want.
Joe says the demons began prodding him to harass Christians.
They began to put me into situations where, you know, you'd have good-hearted Christian people, evangelists out, you know, preaching in the streets. I would engage them in conversation, and 9 times out of 10, they would be outside with me 30 minutes later smoking a cigarette, questioning their faith. That was a big thing to me, to be able to unhinge a believer.
One evening, Joe says his demons told him to go and disrupt a church service.
They told me to mock God in his own house, and this was exciting for me. And so we go to this little tiny storefront church. As I was walking into the doors, those three handlers had to stand outside the door. It wasn't that they didn't want to go in. It was that they couldn't go in.
That night, the war for Joe's soul intensified.
The singer began to sing about taking the children back from the devil, and I got infuriated. I mean, it was just boiling inside of me, and I was wanting to explode and to tell her, man, leave the children alone, they're mine.
Eventually, the pastor gave an altar call.
This lady comes to me and asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart. And I told her, lady, you're a woman of God, and I don't want nothing from you because you got nothing I want. I don't have any clue how I got there, but I was at the altar. For almost 45 minutes, they were just casting these demons out of me all over the sanctuary. And so all I could think about was, man, the devil's going to kill me. You know, they're waiting for me right outside. And this sweet old lady was patting me on the back. And she's like, oh, you're going to be okay, son. It'll be all right. Don't worry.
Joe says although he accepted Christ that night, he didn't surrender his heart.
He broke those strongholds off of me, but there was still that broken heart that he wanted to heal. I remember looking back as I was getting into the car at those three handlers and just the hate that was they were filled with and the darkness that and it was all just directed to me, and I knew that it was on, you know? I knew that they were coming for me.
Over the next 9 months, he went on a drug and alcohol binge, trying to run away from God.
I was so willing to run back into the darkness of trying to get high enough and trying to get drunk enough and trying to do enough crazy things to get this influence of light away from me.
He was arrested for robbing convenience stores and sent to jail. He became involved in a prison gang and was even planning to kill a man to prove himself. But then,
November 16th of 2002, I sat on a park bench overlooking the prison yard. Another gentleman that I had been in several violent altercations with had come, and he just asked me some questions.
At that point, Joe was faced with the many bad choices he had made in life.
God used him to speak his truth in my heart, to tell me that, man, I have a better path for you. And I decided, you know what? Whatever you have for me, if you can get me out of this moment, then if you have something better than my plan, then I'm willing to do it. And so I got off that park bench that day and started walking towards God and never looked back.
Joe says he now realizes how God used his time in jail to speak to him.
That I had to be in prison because I had to be in a place where I could not escape and I could not control. Because with the world, I could get lost and I could run and run. I know what it means for David when he said, I make my bed in hell and lo, you are with me. You know, because when I ran back out into the world, he was still there and he was still wanting to love me.
Before he was released, Joe entered a 12-step program and with God's help was freed from substance abuse and the demons that tormented him for so many years.
God was constantly showing me that he is so much more powerful than any of these things, and that Jesus came to set us free from those things, that those things do not have to have the reign in our lives that we give it.
Upon his release, Joe got a job working with troubled youth at a ranch in Arkansas. He also pastors a small church and ministers to those who struggle with demonic influences in their lives.
Jesus says that we can know God as God knows us. Man, I want to know how many hairs is on his head. I want intimacy with Christ and with the Father. You know, there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to know that he loves us. And he's more powerful than any darkness that could ever overtake you. His grace and his mercy
is
compassion.
That's amazing. That just really, really fills my heart with joy that God forgives everyone and loves everyone. For this man, he had to go to jail. For me, I needed many, many years of trials and error. And well, God knew I needed to be a single mother young, because a lot of the reasons why I fought so hard and cared so much was because I had someone else to care for. So what do you think, Boris?
Well, exorcism has been for ages something that the church has been doing, so I guess the bat is always trying to attack us. I was even reading an article on a show that was aired on CNN 2017. There was this psychiatrist that went to treat the woman, but apparently she was possessed. And then he started believing in demon possessions too.
Well, I can swear I was dealing with demons when I was addicted. When I went through the binges of doing drugs all night long, in the middle of being high, I would cry. I would beg God, please release me from this prison. So, yeah, whether we want to believe it or not, there is bad influences and there is demons. And it's something that we have to deal with. And the problem is big and it has to start with us. It has to start with us because if God can love us unconditionally, then doesn't it occur to us to do the same for ourselves? To love ourselves unconditionally? If God can forgive us, then isn't it okay to be forgiving with others and with ourselves?
Well, yeah, do you know that actually this famous movie, The Right, was based on actual work of a real psychiatrist, Gary Thomas. He's one of the most famous exorcists in the United States. I mean, sorry, he's the priest that is doing exorcism. And then he, when he has problem, he calls this psychiatrist to help.
Nice.
Gallagher, Dr. Gallagher. So there is reality to this, even in real life.
Yes, there is. And if anybody just joined us, this is The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. We're live on 880 AM The Biz every Friday at 2 p.m., and our phone call number is 305-541-2350. Again, that's 305-541-2350. And this song is a sing-along that's called Our God is an Awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked come out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you'd better believe it.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With the power and love of God is an awesome God.
Sky was starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
The judgment and the wrath that he poured out on Sodom, mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that
our God is an awesome God. Our God.
Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are tuning in, this is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo, on 880 AM The Biz. Today, we're talking about how to feel better after trauma and basically focusing on feelings of shame and guilt that can be very dangerous and could lead to suicide. Earlier, we were talking about God's unconditional love and the unconditional love that he has for us. So we discussed the problem that exists today among many, many people. And I happen to know this from firsthand experience. But it's important to know that God is patient. He'll wait for us. He's forgiving. And he's understanding. if we should fall into temptation, God leads the way out, and he's the bright side to every situation. In fact, he's taught me to look at the bright side to every situation. Give me any situation, I'll find a bright side, even if it's dumb. And he always provides what is needed if you seek him, and sometimes even if you don't, because you know what? He sees your heart, and he knows your potential, even if we may not be aware of it ourselves. And the most important part is to know that it's possible to heal. God is the cure. God touches the hearts of other people. I can't begin to tell you how patient Bobby has been with me and how understanding he's been. Not that he's perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I focus on his strengths, not his imperfections or his shortcomings. And he doesn't like to be complimented. He's kind of humble, but it's not... He does have his shortcomings. I'll tell you a dentist story, right? I had gone to the dentist, and my mouth was completely numb. What do? I feel like I need something. I ate my tongue. No, I didn't eat it. That's an exaggeration. I bit it. I bit it pretty bad. So Bobby is in denial when I have injuries. And he says, oh, okay, the mouth heals the fastest. So he goes.
It does, though.
So gullible me believes him, and I clamp my mouth as tight as possible and do my favorite escape when I don't know what to do. I go to sleep. I'm able to fall asleep, thanks to God. And I wake up to Bobby checking in on me. And as soon as I open my mouth, a bunch of blood splurges out. I said, I can't do this. And guess what? I didn't need multiple stitches. You take it. It's fine. But because Bobby was that way with me, I learned to be very forgiving with others, even with those who have hurt me. Believe it or not, each one of us could be a good example. And good behaviors can be contagious. Because God forgave me, I forgive others. I learned to have a love for others. And I try to think about how they would feel. It's much easier to keep it together and to feel better when you want to feel bad. If you think about those around you that love you, that support you, how it might affect them. 9 times out of 10, I always cheer up when my family's around, no matter what I'm going through. But here's God's mercy. He knew I needed Danny. When life looked hopeless, at 18, orphaned, at 15, God knew I needed a daughter. And God knew God knew I needed Bobby, who was my wonderful partner in life. And I don't know how he even, I don't know, Bobby, how did you do it? All those years were so challenging. Not just me, because let's face it, I didn't really deal with my stuff until I wrote the book.
We were dealing
with so many other things, right?
Right. Well, you've been trying to help yourself for a long time. You just not always so successful. But yeah, you need to have a lot of patience to be there for somebody that needs help.
I was
trying to be patient. Well, sometimes I was not very patient, I have to admit that. So that's okay to anybody that is listening. If you get frustrated when you deal with somebody that has hers or his shortcomings sometimes, that's all right. I mean, we're humans. Or is it we're human? Well, we're human. So... That's how it is.
Well, let me explain to you, because a lot of people say don't let the past haunt you.
Right.
But for someone like me, who I dealt with my past when I wrote my book, to my surprise, it was quite draining and emotional, so much that I had to turn to alternative forms of therapy. and Bobby, knowing that we've tried every kind of medication and I just grow resistance and I depend on the next new medication. And before you know it, I'm feeling like a guinea pig.
I did try everything with you. That's
and then, you know, ketamine infusions. So I did that. And I'll tell you, yes, it helped me over the hump. And let me explain to you the experience of ketamine infusion. It's when you feel really, really bad and medication is not working. It is an out-of-body experience. And it does give you a little feeling of euphoria. You kind of feel embraced by, I felt embraced by God's love. And it changes your frame of mind, your way of thinking. You see a bigger picture. You're not so focused on what's going on in your life or what you think is going on wrong in your life. I don't know how that happens, but somehow it does happen. But I'm not big into out-of-body experiences. God knows I've done my share of drugs. So before you knew it, I didn't need it anymore.
Well, and also, yeah, it also supposed to help a little bit with reset the brain chemistry and make it work better. Though we really don't know how it works with depression.
Well, it's supposed to improve your mood.
Yes.
The brain chemistry that's responsible for your mood, it's supposed to improve it. And you're supposed to feel better, which you do because you get to a point where you feel good enough where you don't need the ketamine infusions anymore.
It's so funny that you're talking about ketamine now. I don't know if you know. Well, I think you know. We spoke about it. There is a new drug that is approved right now. Not that I'm making them commercial, but it's an intranasal variant of ketamine. It's called esketamine. So that's going to be approved. I mean, it is approved already. It's going to be available soon in doctor's offices for people that have suicidal thoughts, that are very depressed, and works almost immediately. Just one inhalation in your nose. And you need to stay there a little bit to see if you have reaction of sorts, and they monitor you. But this is definitely a big option for people that suffer from depression or PTSD or are thinking about committing suicide. And I believe this is going to be a big, big breakthrough.
Well, I'll tell you what else it did for me. I went from 4 medications for my depression to only 1. And my severe stomach pains, remember them? They disappeared. Yep. Mystery diagnosis. You checked my esophagus, my stomach.
Yeah, you went to a lot of doctors.
Put me through a lot of exams. Mystery diagnosis.
Well, it wasn't very mystery. You just... there was no other reason for that. So basically, it was kind of related to your depression.
Well, thank God you're relentless PTSD. And you're always looking for ways to help me.
I'm trying.
God knew I needed you. But, you know, I've developed several techniques to help myself feel better. And I will share it to you soon after this testimonial, which is just another example of God's unconditional love. I have to tell you, this guy, he was tattooed from head to toe. He talked the talk. He walked the walk. Gangster as can be. This is Romans 13:12 in real life with Jesus Christ.
Got siblings, 3 brothers, and 1 sister. And growing up, man, Satan had me blind. I was attracted to the wrong things. I wanted to be the wrong things. I was watching, whatever I was watching is what I wanted to become. I was watching Bound by Honor, Boys of the Hood, Men's Society, and I wanted that. Satan blinded me, made me believe that's who I wanted to be. So now I'm influenced. I want to be this gang member, and everybody around me is just the same. Everybody wants to be like that. Everybody wants something like that. Everybody wants acceptance from the streets. So growing up, gang banging, doing all that, holding guns. And at 17 years old, my friend gets shot and killed due to gang violence. And it became so real. It was like a dream, like my friend just died. It ain't no more laughing like, oh yeah, we're this and that. No, it became real. And I was fine with it though. That's what we did. I was fine, that's what we do. My dad dies from cirrhosis of the liver at 17 years old. So fast for a little bit. It's 1998 and me, my brother, and a couple of my friends go to a party. Get in a fight, I get stabbed, we leave, come back, kick in the door, start fighting. So we go to prison. Go to prison for 2.5 years. Get out. I get out July August 2nd, 2001. My brother gets out a little bit earlier. My brother Fonzie gets out a little bit earlier, like May 25th or something, 2001. And July 27th, 2001, he gets stabbed 16 times and dies in the street. I was fine with that, though. Satan had me blind. That's what I do. So I'm going through life. I get a girlfriend. I have a child. And I'm doing good. We're living together. Then drugs gets a hold of me. Shakes me so much that it shook my girl, shook my son, and I was no longer walking my home. I had to go, so I go back to my mom's house. Love you, mom. So I live with her. Start selling drugs on the house. Started staying in the hood with all the homies, with the friends, and just doing that out there. Friends are dying all around me, getting shot, ran over, getting stabbed to death, and I'm fine with that. Got all the names tattooed all over me, and I'm fine with that. That's how Satan had me believe it. I was still pushing, going. Went back to prison in 2008, back and forth to prison until I can't attend challenge, but back and forth to prison. But the thing that changed me, it wasn't all this gang violence, it's what led up to change me. It's every single thing that Satan meant for bad, now God is going to use for good. But it's when I lost my mind, and then when I started hearing them, and seeing them, seeing Satan, seeing the devil, seeing the demons, and it was just so much. I was in the spirit world. I don't know where I was at, but I was hearing them. And then everything, Satan made me feel like everything was too much. Everywhere I would go, I couldn't talk to you. Why? Because whatever you would tell me, there was something behind it. I couldn't be around you. Why? Because you're going to get out to get me. And it became even more real when it started coming to West Coast to me. My bestest friends, my family, my mom, my brother. And when I thought that they was against me, and I couldn't get a hold of it. Until one day, I stopped walking around like, God, I need you. I'm so alone. Couldn't be around nobody. God, I can't hear you. So what I do is, God knows everything. So he knew when I was going to talk. And he knew. I said, God, if I can't hear you, then when I talk to you, God, I'm going to answer. Because you know everything I'm going to say. So I'm like, I'm walking. Jesus, I love you. I love you back, Mike. That's how he talked to me. Every single time I would call on God, I would answer back. Because he says he knows every single word that we're saying. So he knew I was going to answer for him. And I would make myself believe that it's God answering you, Mike. It's God answering you. But I was like, man, you're going crazy, Mike. You're out here talking to yourself. And I would have to tell myself, man, you're talking to God, Mike. Don't believe yourself. So one day, I'm at my house, my mom's house, and I kneel. In your son's name, Jesus Christ, Lord, Father God, encamp me with your angels. We are the mighty archangels. And that's how I heard them. And I never felt nothing like that ever in my life. Every single ounce of my body felt that. I was like, God. And now when I asked him back, I love you, Mike. I knew that he was hearing me. And then that day I knew he was saving me. But Satan kept coming at me. Boom! 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 Keep pushing, Mike. I would tell myself, keep pushing. And I knew it wasn't me no more. I knew it was God telling me, go. Get up. I want you. Get up. Why? Because Jesus Christ loves you. That's why. Nobody else loves you. Jesus loves you. So get up. And we are the archangels of heaven, Mike. And we love you. Mike, heaven, we love you. Boom! Satan would hit me again. Boom! I'll be right there with the crystal pipe, trying to submit to God. And I'm right there, and in my mindset is telling me, don't do it, Mike. Don't do it. God's not going to forgive you, Mike. And I'm telling everybody about God. Why can't I tell them about God? And I can't live for him. And I'm right there with tears coming out of my eyes with the pipe right there. I'm like, God, forgive me. You know what God tells me? He says, Mike, there's no way you could out-sin me. You hit that, I'm still gonna love you. I love you, Jesus. Since you hit that, I'll still love you. I knew you was gonna fall. The most beautiful thing about me, Mike, I'm like, what, God? He said, I love you unconditionally. He said, you can fall. It says a man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. You tell him, young God, he can fall 1 billion times. And 1 billion steps ahead of you. I love you, Jesus.
That's how I felt God. That's how I talked to God. So when you reach into heaven, you reach to heaven with the only way you know how. There's this pastor here, his name's Pastor Boyd. He asked me, do you know what God sounds like? And I had all these things in my mind, like, oh, he sounds like this, he sounds like that. But he made so much sense. He's like, God, he sounds just like you. And I almost had a heart attack. I was like, man, I remember. It's just solidifying. And he's right. However you talk to God, he's going to know how to get your attention. Because nobody knows your thoughts but you. Nobody knows your thoughts but God. And nobody knows God's thoughts but God. So he knows exactly how to talk to you. Jesus Christ! I love you, God! That's how he touched my life. I can go on many different ways, billions of ways. I can tell you how he touched my life. But he walked with me through that holy war. Side by side, with me linked up. He and his mighty archangels. And I will talk to all of heaven. I love you, heaven. I love you back, Mike. Jesus Christ. And the only way for people to believe me, God was telling me. And he's talking to many a friend. I have a friend in jail. His name's Adam Goodman. He told me, he's like, Mike, the only way people are going to believe you is you got to get off drugs. You got to live right. And then they will know. And when I opened up the Bible, Colossians 1, 3, I think it is, he says, and you must put on the armor of right living. That's not Colossians 1, 3, Romans 12, 13, or 13, 12. I don't know exactly which one. But it says, the night is gone, salvation is coming soon. Remove your dirty deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shiny armor of right living. That's in Romans. That's either Romans 12 or 13 or 13 or 12. Look it up. And that's true. The shiny armor of right living. Jesus Christ.
And now I run into these videos and I realize that God's mercy is unending, is never ending. His love, there's no comparison. And I am grateful that I've reached times in my life that I've been so desperate that I've had no other choice to seek God, because it gave me a chance to know that I can get close to him and that I can get better. So what do you do when you're feeling bad or having negative thinking or feeling miserable? Well, what I do is I trust God. I know it will pass. I know that he doesn't give us anything we cannot handle. And I know that he will give me the strength I need. All I do is pray. And that's how I talk to God. And you can have conversations with God. But here's a good way to feel good about yourself. Be kind to others. When you pray, you open up your eyes and the dialogue changes. Instead of saying negative things or thinking or saying negative things to yourself, you start thinking positive, or you're more forgiving of yourself. And something I used that I learned is I tell my kids and I tell my friends, when they assume something's going to happen ahead of time in a negative way, I always say ATP, ATP, which means always think possible. Always think positive. I always look for the bright side, and I'm sure I find it. And if I'm ever confused about what is the right thing to do, I think to myself, well, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was right here, right now, what would he do if he was watching? If this person is Jesus? Because I'll tell you what, in the rosary that I pray, they also have a sayings in the rosary. And it says that the Virgin Mary, she did her housework and she dealt with her neighbors. And when they say she dealt with her neighbors, I gather that would be she was kind to her neighbors. And also, I think that God wants us to be self-disciplined. That's how we can feel better about ourselves. And what I did, and what I mean by self-discipline, is follow the Ten Commandments, even lying, you know, even the smallest things. Because if you can if you can do fall away or stray away from God in the smallest things, then it could get to bigger things. But if you do keep God's word and live your life that way, God will bless you. I can guarantee you this because he has blessed me to where I'm still amazed. You can also integrate music. You can integrate exercise. And sometimes when you can do nothing at all, just sit tight, know that it will pass. But I did understand, I did come to an understanding that I'm not going to feel better by laying in bed all day. And I chose to be productive, even if I didn't feel like getting up at all. And I actually learned some positive coping mechanisms, like giving myself a minimum set of daily responsibilities that I'm sure to complete, reasonable ones, which usually help me feel better. And if I don't complete them all that I intended to complete in that day, then I recognize that I was able to do what I did. And I try not to be hard on myself because it only leads to frustration. And frustration only leads to anger, which only leads to feeling bad. So even the smallest accomplishments, I'm grateful for. And I know it's important to be caring and understanding to yourself. So not only is God forgiving always and loves us unconditionally, but we must learn to forgive ourselves and love ourselves unconditionally. God will help us, but ultimately we do have a choice how we live our lives and how we respond to others. Tell me, which way makes you feel better? Does revenge or hatred or anger, do any of those things make you feel better?
Maybe a little bit, but the whole concept is probably not that. At the end, you feel bad that you did something bad. So yes, definitely need to live according to the nice principles.
And if you have PTSD, that's something that can come very easily. You can easily get angry and blow up, but you were very understanding.
Well, you're understanding too sometimes.
So please explain it to other people, because what if they have somebody in their family that has PTSD? What is the support system's point of view?
Well, that's actually very important, in my opinion. Everybody needs a friend. So that's the oldest say in the world, but you need somebody to help you, guide you through a bad moment. Just be very patient with you when you need it. And you might need it one day too. That's how it is. We need to be there for each other. And then try to help as much as possible. Yeah, a lot of patience sometimes is needed. But also love.
I realized, with all the years of suffering, I realized that as much as I suffered or worried in the past, everything really turned out all right.
Yeah, like for example, today was raining, right? So I was like, wow, that's going to rain all the way here.
But I have ATP.
But you do.
So I said, it's going to stop raining by the time we leave. And not only that, the sun will come out.
Yeah, it did. And it did. Always think positive. Works, guys. Even with me, I'm still learning from her.
I tell him, you're more likely to be right thinking positive than thinking negative.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think you are bringing positive energy if you think positive.
No, I'm not magical.
But it's still good forces.
Well, yes, there is positive karma.
Right.
And people feel good around positive people.
There you go.
So, yes, you're right.
That's the idea. You need to think positive so something positive can happen.
Yeah, I mean, because everything turns out, no matter how many trials and errors and difficulties you find along the way, like tracks like. I know that I am no one without God, so I do integrate him in my life and practice daily prayer. I'm not dumb. I do pray a lot.
Good. Okay, thank you. well, we need help from him too.
Yes.
Yes. And ultimately, humans, because we're made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, we aim to succeed. We want to get better.
Sure.
We want to feel like we have a certain purpose to fulfill. We want to feel needed or worthwhile. So basically, helping others and understanding one another and being kind to one another and all the things that Jesus taught us. Because I, even though I haven't read the Bible, I saw Jesus of Nazareth and I learned many things from it. And if you just follow his examples, those guidelines, you will find peace. You nice. Will not be so hard on yourself because you will be content with who you are and not focus on your symptoms. You'll learn to forgive yourself because now what? You feel like you're worthwhile because you're helping others, because you're being kind to someone else, because you helped a kid with his homework, because you helped the little old lady cross the street. Challenge yourself.
We'll let a car go in front of you.
Do something kind every day. Challenge yourself.
Nice.
And basically, besides medication and seeing a psychiatrist, of course, we have to be realistic too. But medication only can do so much. And the psychiatrist is only there for so long. The rest is us.
Yep.
And we can be our best friend. I mean, I know that I can be either my best friend or my worst enemy. I know I've been my worst enemy. So there is such a thing as the yin-yang.
Yes,
and,
there is.
And good against evil. I do believe in that. But the good news is that there is God. And God is all we need. Because God is really great. So for those that are tuning in, this is The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this song is called How Great Thy Art by Carrie Underwood.
How great Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. The Cure with Amy Cabo was brought to you by IMIC Research, 786-310-7477 or www.godisthecure.com. Tune in every Friday at 2 p.m. for The Cure with Amy Cabo right here on 880 The Biz.